Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come this morning and just bow our heads and bow just everything in our lives to you this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can gather in your name. Thank you, Father, that you've given us the freedom just to praise and to worship you and just to come and lay down our lives in this morning. And thank you, Father God, that we are here to give primarily, but also to receive from you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we can quiet the distractions, Father God, of this week, of this day, Lord, the places where we find ourselves, Lord God. And we thank you that we can come this morning and just focus on you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you have a message, Lord, for each and every one of us, Lord God. It might not be the same message, but it's a message nonetheless, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that our eyes and our ears will be open, our hearts will be ready to receive, Lord God, that which you want to bring into our hearts this morning, Lord. I thank you, Father God, there's just such a spirit of peace and rest, Father God, and such a gentle spirit here this morning, Father God, that wants to come and do business, conduct business with each and every one of us here, Lord. As we lay down our lives, Lord, we give you open access to our hearts, Lord, to come and do what you want to do and need to do in our hearts this morning, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Good morning, everybody. For those of you that know me, my name is Wilhelm. It's a nice, strong German name, even though I have no German roots whatsoever. Let me just create some space here for myself. Before I get to the message, just some news from our team in the Ukraine. For the visitors here, we have our pastors, Yanni and Kat, with four very brave soldiers. They've gone to the Ukraine for about 2 weeks, and the reports that we've had so far have been very good. I know that they are in a small town this morning, which I can neither spell nor pronounce, nor I've ever heard of, but I know it's in the Ukraine nonetheless. And Pastor Yanni will be ministering there this morning. I think they were involved in a youth camp last weekend. They've been ministering in various situations. So I would like just everybody to stand so that we can just pray a collective prayer for them for 2 minutes. Yes, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring our team in the Ukraine this morning, Father God, your team, Father God, before you in this morning, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that you are doing a specific work in their hearts, Father God, this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are anointing their hands and their feet and their lips, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you have circumcised their hearts, Lord. Lord, that they will be ready, Lord God, to speak the word in season that you have sent them there for, Lord. I thank you, Father God, just for unity, Father God, and the team, Lord. I thank you, Father God, just for the small things, Lord, the practical things, Lord God, that need to fall into place this morning as they minister, Father God, in that specific town. I thank you, Lord God, that you've gone ahead, Lord, and that you've prepared the way, Lord, that you've prepared hearts, Lord, to receive the word that you are bringing there this morning, Lord. And I just pray a blessing over them, Father God, in their coming and in their going, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, it's my privilege to share the word this morning. While we were interceding this morning, people were just praying it over and over and over again. It's really something that's on my heart. Is really in this time of the year, I find that people sometimes go through a little bit of a tough time. And so really this morning, I believe that God is bringing us a message of hope. So let me get straight into my intro. I want you to close your eyes as I read the next couple of lines, if you can close your eyes, and just allow God to just open your heart. You wake up one morning, and your life is not where you thought or pictured it would be. Your finances is an absolute mess. You don't live in the dream house that you thought that you should, or that you think that you should be living in. Your family is scattered all over the country, all over the province, all over the world. Your relationships fail one after the other, and you are lonely. Your marriage is suffering, might be failing. Your job is a drag, it's boring, and you don't have time to spend in God's presence. You feel cheated by life if you left short of the promise, your life, you feel as if you've missed something. You've missed the turnoff. And you ask yourself, is this all there is for me? All right, you can look at me again. This morning, I really believe that God wants to come and do a very specific work in our hearts. I really feel that many of us might be in a place of desperation. Many of us just need a word of encouragement and a word of hope. And I really believe that that's what God has laid on my heart. The word came to me, or the message came to me about 2 weeks ago. I was driving to work early in the morning. And one of my favorite all-time songs, it's a secular song from the band U2, I'm sure you all know. And the name of the song is Where the Streets Have No Names. And that's also the title of my sermon, Where the Streets Have No Names, The Eternal Perspective. And for me, personally, the song has lots of different interpretations. Some people say the words of the song refer to, because U2, they're an Irish band, and they sort of started in times in Dublin when there was a lot of religious persecution, when, you know, things were going very tough there. So a lot of people say, but the interpretation of the words of that song refers to what was happening in Dublin at that stage, because the people said that if somebody would ask you, where do you live, without saying the name, just by knowing the area, they would know exactly your religious status, your social status, your family status. So it was quite an intense thing. So that's, a lot of people interpret the song in that way. Then some people, becoming a little bit more religious, say, well, it's actually speaking of Jerusalem, because U2, some people argue, started out as a gospel band. And some people say it actually refers to Jerusalem, because in that song, there's a line that says, refers to a city high up on a desert plain, which refers to Jerusalem. And in the middle of Jerusalem, there are also many streets without names. And then obviously there are people that believe that if they personalize the song, they believe that the words actually speaks of heaven. And, you know, the song is open to interpretation, but why I'm sharing this with you is, you know, there's a lot of things in life that triggers us, you know, but it's my interpretation of a situation or a song, or your interpretation of a specific song or a specific situation might be completely, completely different. So my question this morning, with that in mind, is what is your interpretation of where you are in your life right now? When you woke up this morning, you were brushing your teeth, hopefully, you were combing your hair, and you know, you look in the mirror and you think to yourself, like I said, this is my life, this is where I'm at, this is the junction where I'm at. And you have to internalize and interpret that for yourself as to why you are where you are, and for whatever reason. And you have to ask yourself, you know, what am I seeing in my life? What am I feeling? What am I experiencing? And that's why I really want to bring this message to you this morning and ask you the question, but you know, what is the thing that drives you in the morning? What is the thing that answers those questions? You know, this is what I'm seeing in my life. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. And I really believe that God wants to come and lay a foundation in our heart this morning, or bring a revelation into your heart this morning, which is called the eternal perspective. It's a revelation that God gave me a couple of years ago, and that's why I use the song as my reference, because it's a song that every time I hear it, it reminds me of that revelation that God has given me of living life with an eternal perspective. And I really believe that it's a fundamental key that we need to grasp in our lives, especially in the day and the age where we live, where things are really tough. I mean, we spoke to friends over the weekend that are, you know, just from what you perceive and what you see, they are very successful. But then you ask them and you speak to them and they say, things are very tough, business tough, families, things are not going well. And we all can associate with that. We can all think of it in one aspect in our lives where we need a little bit of hope. But it's actually, like I say, it's a fundamental key that we need to implement in our lives, because it will change the way you live. It will change the way you see things. It will change the way you operate so that you can live a life that's victorious and not live under that cloud of heaviness, not live under that depression or whatever that thing is that ensnares you or that drags you down. One of my favorite quotes is from a missionary called Jim Elliot, and I've used it before in one of my sermons, but I want to read it to you again, and I think it's going to be up there. Thanks, Louise. Karu. It says, "He's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I'm going to read it to you again. "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And I know it's one of those, I read it to you and you're like, "Yeah, that's nice," but you don't really grasp it. So let me break it down to you. He's no fool. It means somebody with wisdom who gives up what he cannot keep, meaning this life that you're living in, to gain what you cannot lose, which is the eternal promise that God has given us in his word. And that's where I want to take you this morning. The same man also said, "I seek not a long life, but a full life, like the life of Jesus Christ." And that's where every morning when we get up, that is what we have to tell ourselves. I seek not a long life, but a full life. And that full is open to interpretation. For your situation, for your situation, for your situation, it can be and can mean something completely different. But we'll get to that. So it's an open interpretation. But that's the place where God wants you to live. In that place where you can say, like this man said, "I seek not a long life, but a full life, the life of Jesus Christ." So let's look at what the word says. I'm a little bit old school, so I read still from the Bible and not from iPads and all sorts of things like that. But for the more technologically advanced, I did put the scripture up there. So just give me some time to page through my Bible to get there. I do use nice little blue cards to help me to get there. All right. I'm going to read to you two scriptures, really just to communicate or to show you what the Bible, or to use two very good examples of what the Bible speaks of when it talks about having an eternal perspective. And I'm going to use two examples, Jesus Christ being the one and the Apostle Paul being the other one, two of my favorite scriptures. So I'm reading Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run the race. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." And I want you to focus on that little bit in the middle that I've highlighted there that says, "because of the joy awaiting him." And that speaks of an eternal perspective that Jesus had. He knew what was coming. He knew of the eternal promise and the eternal inheritance that God intended for all of us that sit here. And that's what that scripture speaks of, is really bringing a message of hope to our hearts, knowing that our ultimate example, Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, knew that there was something better coming. And that's, with that attitude, he went to the cross knowing that there's an eternal inheritance, an eternal promise waiting for us. So he had an understanding of eternity. He had an understanding of what God had intended for all of us to experience. The second scripture is Philippians 1, verse 20 to 25. I'm reading from the NLT. "For I fully expect and hope," this is Paul speaking, "for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sake, it is better that I continue to live. And if you sit and meditate on that scripture, you think to yourself, you know, here's somebody and it sounds like he has a bit of a suicidal death wish, you know, spirit inside of him. But if you go and you meditate on it and you actually see and realize, but you know, somebody that says something like this, the same with a quote that Jim Elliot said, you know, somebody like that has to have an understanding of something greater, of something better. And again, it refers to the eternal perspective that Paul grasped. He knew that there was something better coming. He knew that, yes, obviously, being with Christ is the best, but he still had something to do on earth. But he had an understanding that there was something greater. He had an understanding of that eternal inheritance. And he lived with that eternal perspective inside of his heart. And that's why he was able to say this. So let's break it down so that we can see what it means when I speak of eternal perspective. So let's look at the two words. Eternal. Eternal means it's infinite. It refers to an infinite time. It refers to something that has a duration without a beginning or an end. Or my personal favorite, it speaks about something that exists outside of time. Now, this in itself is a very controversial thing because a lot of people say, but, you know, existing out of time, where do you bring that in? How can you fit that into the Gospels? But I want to take you back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 43, verse 13, that speaks and that illustrates for us a little bit more about eternity. The scripture reads, "From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done." And this is a very powerful image of eternity because it speaks of a hope that God wants to instill inside of us. Another scripture that I want to read to you is Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, which says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its time." The scripture, the Ecclesiastes 3, is a passage of scripture that speaks about, you know, everything having its time. But it says, "He has planted eternity in human hearts. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." He has planted eternity in human hearts. And that's what I want to stress this morning. The concept that you have of eternity is not an intellectual thing. And that's why I refer to that existing outside of time. Because it's not something that we can understand. And that's what Job said in Job chapter 36 as well. He said, "No one can understand in eternity." And that's where we often get stuck. We get stuck in the fact that we try to reason or understand how great eternity is, how long eternity is. And if you're in that place where you struggle to get across that, or across that, you know, trying to understand, let me help you out, you can just as well stop, because you're never going to grasp, you know, in your intellect what it is. Because the Bible says, you know, that God has placed eternity in our hearts. So eternity, the understanding of eternity, the understanding of having eternal perspective starts in your heart and not in your head. Do you get that? So the important thing is that, and David wrote that in Psalm 119, verse 11, when he said, and he also had an understanding of that eternal perspective. He said, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So David also had an understanding that it was a thing about the heart. It was about the attitude of your heart and not about the capacity of your mind to understand or reason or think, how big is this God that I'm serving? Are you all still with me? So it's important for us to understand that eternity is something that happens in our hearts. It's not something that happens in our heads. There are two scriptures that refer also to eternity in Romans 1 verse 19 and Psalm 14 verse 1 that really speaks of you know, we cannot be ignorant to say that, but we don't understand or we don't know about this eternal thing that God has placed in our hearts. Because Romans 1 verse 19 says, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. And Psalm 14 verse 1, which illustrates the opposite and also speaks about the attitude and the things of the heart, says, only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. The scripture doesn't say, a fool doesn't say in his head or reasons with his mouth or reasons with his head that there is no God. It's in his heart. So it's important for us to understand that the eternal things are not things that we can reason with our heads, but it's something that we have to understand with our heart. There's somebody that said the battlefield of life is the hearts of men. And that's what we have to realize, that the devil comes and he attacks you, yes, firstly in your head, but it sinks down into your heart. Because if he can get your heart, if he can get your heart to harden, for you to close your heart, you will never grasp, you will never be able to live with this eternal perspective that we are talking about this morning. The second thing, the second part of eternal perspective is obviously perspective. And there are three different ways of looking at perspective. First and foremost, you know, in the flesh or in the visual, it speaks of, you know, how an object can appear to you. And then obviously what we are referring to this morning is your point of view or how you see things, your beliefs, your experiences, or the choice of context. So in other words, the way you see things. But I want to come back to the question that we keep on asking ourselves. What does it mean to live with an eternal perspective? Because I've now referred to the Bible, I've referred to, you know, Jesus living with an eternal perspective, being the perfect illustration for us. The Apostle Paul saying the same thing, illustrating for us that eternity is a thing in our hearts and not in our heads. And it is largely determined by the way that we see things. And that's why I put this beautiful painting up here this morning. Thank you, Rosita. And what I want to do, I want to just illustrate to you what I mean by having an eternal perspective. Because, like I said, it's something, it's about the attitude of the heart. And the attitude of the heart really determines how you go about life, how you interpret certain things, how you interpret your situations, how you interpret your circumstances, how you interpret, you know, when somebody speaks something to you or communicates something to you. Interpretation is quite a big thing and is very closely linked to living with that eternal perspective. And in a nutshell, to live with an eternal perspective is really to see the bigger picture. So if that's the only thing that you remember this morning, is that your life, you must really trust God to bring this thing home in your heart to see the bigger picture. And that's why I put this painting up here. You know, I can stand far away and I can see the picture or the painting as a whole, and it will make perfect sense to me. You know, I will be able to see all the detail, you know, the cross in the middle, the different use of colors, you know, and it will really speak to me, and I can sit there and I can look at it and I can interpret it over and over and over again. But if I stand too close to the painting and I only see this little part in the corner here, I'm not going to see the rest of the beauty of this painting. I'm only going to see this little orange corner over here. Or let's make it even more personal. If I'm down in the corner here and I only see, you know, the dark black or the purple bit here in the corner, that's the only bit that I'm going to see. And that's often how we operate in our lives. You know, God has given us this canvas of life to live in, you know, to enjoy. But what we do is we get so close that we actually cannot see the bigger picture. We cannot see the whole canvas that God has painted for us. And we get stuck and we only see one color. The other problem that happens is if you get too close, it starts to blur because your eyes actually cannot adapt. You know, the picture is supposed to be seen, you know, from a distance. It's not supposed to be seen from up close. And that's what happens with us in life. We get so caught up in our own situations. We get so caught up in our own problems. We get so close to those things that we forget that there's a whole canvas that God has painted for us to operate and to live in. And what we must do is we must take a couple of steps back and we must see the canvas that God has painted for us. We must see the picture as a whole, which reflects our lives. You must just take a step back and grasp with an eternal perspective the canvas that God has painted of your life. Let's get a little bit practical. If you look at the parables of Jesus, they remind us to keep an eternal perspective regardless of circumstances. There are many parables. I've written down five. The parable of the rich young man in Matthew 19, the parable of the weeds in Matthew 13, the parable of the hidden treasures, the 10 virgins, and the parable of the talents. They most of the parables start with the words, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like the rich young man. The kingdom of heaven is like. And then the story starts. And it's not by accident that those parables start with those particular words. Because the Bible wants us to understand that these stories, there's a thin golden thread that runs through them. And that's the eternal perspective that Jesus wants us to have when we look at these stories. It's the same in the book of Revelations. You know, that golden thread of eternal perspective that runs through. It's the glasses that we have to put on when we read those parables. Because we have to have an understanding that if you look at those stories, they all point to the eternal promise, the eternal inheritance that God has promised us, the eternal inheritance that God has promised us. But we're not going to see that if we don't have that eternal perspective. We're not going to see that unless we have those glasses that focuses on Jesus, that focuses on the things that God has placed inside of us. And therefore, everything in life must seem as if it has the purpose of God in your life. So when you're in that situation where things are going bad at work, or you're in a situation where you don't know really why you are there, you need to step back and see and grasp the full picture of why God has placed you there. Because, you know, we sometimes come to that place where we find ourselves so caught up in our own circumstances. And a sermon that I preached a while ago of we are nomads in this country. We are just passing through. You know, you have to grasp that, you know, the time that you spend here, you know, this is not your final destination. You have to realize and understand that where you are now is not your final destination. When you retire one day and you buy the beach house or the house at the sea or whatever your dream is, that is not your final destination. But we have to grasp in our hearts and understand that the canvas of your life is not that small little dot in the corner where you find yourself now. It's a canvas with beautiful colors. And that is what God wants you to see. Every day, He wants you to see and live in that place, knowing that your life is not just that dark spot or that one particular monotonous color, but that your life is actually a canvas of beautiful colors, that where you might be right now makes no sense. But if you take that step back or two steps back, everything will be seen perfectly clear. But what happens to us? Why do we lose that eternal perspective? Firstly, we get short-sighted. I've mentioned that. You come too close to your problems, and that's the only thing you see. That's the only thing that occupies your time. That's the only thing that fills your day. When you get up in the morning, that's the only thing you see. When you put your head down, when you go to bed at night, that's the only thing that you think of. You get so consumed because the world has trapped you to only see that problem. The second thing that happens is we set temporary and selfish goals. Like I've mentioned in the beginning, the car that you want to drive, the house, the job, all those things. We get so caught up in our own little world, our own stuff. The goals that we set ourselves are short and temporary. We don't see past the next month or the next year or the next 10 years even. And that's why, you know, we have to really trust God that he will come and settle this thing of eternity in our hearts so that we can grasp that the time that we spend here is so short and that we the goals that we set ourselves will not be temporary and short-term goals, but will be long-term and eternal goals. Third thing is we trust in our own ability more than we trust in God's ability through us. We think that we can go to work, live life, because God has given us, you know, an ability. Yes, he has. But we sometimes just, you know, edge God out of our lives. And we put him to the side and we say, but I can do this situation. I can deal with this situation. And we get short-sighted and we lose sight, we lose focus of what our lives are all about. The fourth thing is we don't actually inquire. We don't actually spend time asking God, how do you want us to use your time? How do you want us to use the talents and the treasures that you've given us? You know, if you, let's come back again to the painting. If you are only seeing that one specific spot on the canvas, you're not going to see the other things that God has placed in your life. And you might think, but God, I'm in this situation and this is all I have. But if you take one or two steps back, you will see, but hey, I've got this and I've got that. And this is to my, you know, I can use this and I can use this. And then all of a sudden you realize, but there are so many other things in your life that God has given you. But because you are so close to that canvas, you cannot see the bigger picture. And then last, the point number five, and it adds to a sermon that Dale spoke of or preached a couple of weeks or months ago about taking your eye off the ball. And I want to take you to two scriptures just to demonstrate this. First scripture is in 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is his Son, Jesus. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And then the second scripture is in Ephesians 1, verse 14. That says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. And these two scriptures really embody the two things that enables us to grasp and to live with an eternal perspective. The first thing is a relationship, first and foremost, salvation through Jesus Christ, and then relationship with Jesus. And secondly, having the Holy Spirit and the power of God through the Holy Spirit in your life that will enable you on a day-to-day basis to live with that eternal perspective. Because the Holy Spirit there, it speaks of a guarantee. You know, it's that sense of knowing that God is actively involved in your life. It's that sense of knowing that God has given you a canvas of color to make a difference in wherever you might be. He's not only given you one particular color to paint your life. He's given you an array of colors. He's given you a canvas of colors and of pictures and of beautiful things to make a difference where you are at. But it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just knowing of Jesus, not just knowing that there was a man, Jesus, that was crucified, but actually living and walking in a living relationship with Jesus. That's the first thing that we need to grasp and have that eternal perspective. And the second thing is to have the Holy Spirit as the guarantee in our hearts to know, and like I said, to have that sense of knowing, to know that that's God's power in our lives. That's actually an encouragement to take those colors on the canvas and to go and paint your own picture and to continue to build out the picture that God has painted in your life. So finally, in closing, what is the eternal inheritance? And we read and we know from reading the Bible, but I want to summarize in short what it is, that eternal inheritance. And in short, it's not being saved from going to hell or anything like that, but it is truly spending eternity with Jesus. It's in that safe place where nothing or nobody can hurt you. It's in that safe place where you find complete rest, where you find complete peace. And that's really what I believe this morning. That is God's heart for all of us here, is really to come to an understanding that that is where He wants us to operate. He wants us to operate with that sense of knowing in our hearts that life is not just about our troubles. Life is not just about our challenges. Yes, the Bible says and promises us even, we will, in this world, we will have trials and we will have tribulations. But God doesn't want us to focus on that. He's given us the eternal promise of spending eternity with Him. That is where He wants us to live, with that hope in our hearts, that when you wake up in the morning, you will first see and yearn that intimacy with Him. To know that I'm going into this day because God is with me. And He's given me this array of colors. He's given me and painted this fantastic, immaculate canvas which reflects and represents my life. And yes, there will be some dark spots in there. Yes, there will be some areas where, you know, I would have maybe painted it a little bit different. But the fact of the matter is that that is where God wants us to live, with that sense of knowing, that hope that drives us, that hope that really, you know, just fires us up to know that I will face challenges, I will face problems, but I'm not going to focus on them. I'm not going to get stuck on those problems. I'm not going to be derailed or be ensnared, like Hebrews 12 says, by those problems. And the challenge for us is not to wait for eternity to start one day. Eternity must start right here, right now. Because that eternal inheritance, that promise that God has given us, yes, it is also for one day, but it's also for right where we are now in our lives. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible, Genesis 32, where Jacob wrestled with God, you know, saying, God, I will wrestle with you until you bless me, is an illustration of where we need to be and taking hold of that inheritance today, before we leave this place, to take hold of that inheritance, that eternal inheritance that God has promised us. And with that sense of knowing in our hearts, go from here today with a hope and with an eternal perspective, knowing that the things that we see in our lives, yes, they are important, but it's just one thing of many things. And so that we can live our lives with that eternal promise, with that eternal perspective, with that hope that God has so much more in store for us than the little bit that we see. And we must trust God that He will open up our eyes, that He will come and do a very gentle work by His Holy Spirit in our hearts, so that we can go into our lives and really grasp that it's not just about our problems, but it's about so much, so much more. So I want you to stand with me, and I want to read a scripture over you. I just want to read Psalm 39, verse 4 to 7, just as a prayer over you, and then we're going to close in prayer. So you can close your eyes with me. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting is my life. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Lord, I thank you that this morning, Lord, we can come, Lord, and Lord, we can leave this place, Lord, with a sense of knowing that you are not just, Father God, here and there, but that you are constant everywhere in our lives. Through the tough times, through the good times, Lord, you are there, Lord. And I really sense in my heart, Lord, this morning, Lord, that there are people that really just desperately need, Lord, just that glimmer of hope, Lord, in the situations that they find themselves. And I thank you, Lord, that this morning, Lord, you come, Lord, and you put your finger in that place, Lord, where they so desperately just need a touch, Lord God. Where they so desperately, Lord, just need a bit of hope, Father God, to go into the day of tomorrow. But I thank you, Lord God, that you come, Lord, and that you open up their hearts, Father God. Open up all of our hearts, Lord God. And just burn into our hearts, Father God, the understanding, Lord, of what you mean in Hebrews 12 and in Philippians 1, Lord God, where it speaks of living life with an eternal perspective, where Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, where Jesus could live with that from that place, knowing for the joy that awaited him. I pray, Lord God, that this morning you will come, Lord, and that you will burn into our hearts, Father God, that eternal perspective, so that we can live with a hope and a knowing, Father God, that today is not what life is all about, and tomorrow is not what life is all about, but it's about eternity starting right here, right now. It's about taking hold of that eternal promise that you have given us right here, right now, and living out of that confidence, Father God, that stems from that, Lord, to face with the hope of Christ in me every challenge that awaits me, but also with that same hope to share the joy that also awaits me. I thank you, Father God, that as you, by your Spirit, Father God, are just touching hearts here this morning, we want to give thanks and honor and glory to you, Father God. Just for the sensitivity, Father God, that you bring into our lives by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord God, that as you start a work in our hearts today, Lord, and as you're going to continue to do that work in our hearts today, Lord, we just want to say, come and have your way in our hearts, Lord. Come and have your way in our hearts this morning, and in this week to come, and in the month to come. In the precious name of Jesus Christ.